Linda Stacy, our guest this hour, will take some of your calls as we continue talking about her works, The Sixth Station and the Book of Judas as well. Now, when she was with me a year ago, a little more than a year ago, during the course of the interview, she heard a voice. I heard a voice as well. I want to play a portion of what I was able to obtain. Listen closely.
But then, you know what? This is the first time ever that I have revealed these pictures to anyone. And here it is on your gigantic website, and maybe that's it's supposed to be conveying something. Maybe this image is opening its mouth because it's trying to say something. I don't know.
Linda, why did you write that book?
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Did that come from you?
No, you're kidding.
No, what did you just do?
I didn't do anything.
I heard a voice.
No, but that was that's a joke.
It wasn't my voice.
It wasn't my voice.
Well, what we know is it said something like, why did you write this book? And initially, Linda thought, I did it. And I checked around afterwards with a couple people that might have had some knowledge about this, and nobody fessed up. Nobody fessed up at all. I have my suspicions, and I would tend to think that that was created. Linda thinks otherwise, so we're going to get her take on that when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Linda Stacy with us. We're going to get into her work, The Book of Judas, here in a second. We'll take your calls as well. Okay, Linda, so we relived that situation back in January, and you've had a chance to hear it again. I still think somebody here was playing around, but what's your take?
Nothing like that has ever happened to me, and I assume that you guys know if somebody was playing around. I have no idea.
Well, I checked around. Nobody's fessed up to me, but that
once today when I was on hold.
There's no way technically you can hear that on hold without that getting on the air. Everything you hear on hold is already on the air, and I'm not getting any reports.
So maybe somebody is playing around. I have no idea.
That's weird. So, but
I'm just sitting in my apartment.
Okay, so, but whatever it was, it said, why did you write this book? Did you ever get to the point of answering that for yourself?
Every time I sat down over those 6 years when I wanted to stop, I asked myself that, but I was driven to finish it. I just couldn't not do it. But, you know, when something is draining you and taking so much of your time and, you know, you're having these weird experiences on a daily basis, you do have to ask yourself, why in the heck am I doing this?
Because you want to get answers.
Yes, because I was driven to get answers. And, you know, if you're curious and if things are happening to you, you want to know why. I never found out why other than these things were meant to be exposed. But I never found out why me or why it was happening to me or any of that. And the same way I never found out, nor did you find out, where that crazy voice came
right from.
But I will tell you that what was so interesting is the show I did with you, I got a call from the former governor of New York State, David Patterson.
Right.
Yeah. And he's a big fan of the show. And he called me and he just was blown away by that, and he's called me since and asked me if we ever found out.
Now David's blind, so he would be very sensitive to hearing things.
Yes.
Huh.
And he said that he just, you know, it really disturbed him on a level that he didn't understand where it came from. He knows me not that well, but he knows me. He knows I'm not a liar or a trick or
right.
a trickster, and I wouldn't even know how to do something.
Well, I see. I thought you did it. Initially.
You did?
Yeah, I did. It was just...
I thought you did it.
No, it wasn't me. And then I thought somebody else did it.
I mean,
I realized it wasn't you.
I have no ability to even know how to do such a thing. I mean, what did I do, throw my voice? I don't know.
I mean, both of us could have been part of this.
There's no reason to do it. It was just so out of the blue.
We were the victims, maybe. But bottom line is... stranger things have happened. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I'm stranger to me. I mean, to me, 99 out of 100, you know, it's someone's pulling your leg. It's a prank, whether it's a UFO case, a ghost, or a voice. But there's always that little 1%, that one out of 100, where if it's genuine, if it's real, it's worth everything. Whether you get a million phony crop formations, but one you can't figure out, and maybe it's real, it's worth it. It's worth investigating and everything else. And this could very
well be. But how do you investigate something like that? It came and it went.
You can't. You can't.
I mean, unless it's, you know,
but
something in the studio, which I have, you know, I don't know whether you can ever do that, but I can't imagine that somebody who's working for you is pulling a prank like that, because they'd be fired in 5 seconds.
Fired, probably not, because they're weird people that work with you.
No, you're kidding.
You should see what they make me do on April 1st.
What did they make you do?
You know, well, you'll have to listen to my next April Fool's show. But let's look, before we go to calls, the Book of Judas, tell me about this one. I mean, it's a novel based on fact, but tell
right.
me about it.
Well, when the last book ended, the protagonist in the book had experienced all this stuff. We didn't know whether she was pregnant, she's not pregnant, whatever. And the next book starts out when she's back in New York City and she is indeed pregnant. And she gets a call from a friend whose father happened to work in this bank where I had my account when I was a kid, and says, we need to talk. And then she gets set on this whole adventure of an investigative journey on finding out what the book of the Gospel of Judas actually was. And as I was investigating it myself, and I was doing this with a friend who's a scholar and also a spiritualist, she and I realized that a lot of the places where the book is rotted actually seem to contain a code. The rotted words seem to contain a code. And every part that we came across seemed to be a word that would lead us to the star Sirius, which I'm now starting to discover what that's about. And apparently a lot of this, the esoteric teachings of Jesus to Judas in this gospel contain a lot of information on the origins of mankind, and it seems to lead to Sirius, the planet Sirius.
But the book of Judas, I mean, there's no question people have talked about all kinds of things about Judas, whether he was set up, whether he had to be part of this, whether, you know, he was a willing participant because he had to fulfill, obviously,
right.
the destiny of Jesus
right.
and had to pull this off. Did you look at any of that?
Yes, I did. And I think it's kind of a bizarre scenario that Jesus would have to pull off this kind of trick in order to make himself become a martyr and therefore immortal and so forth. But the more I have read this book, I can't imagine that the disciple who was most loved by Jesus would betray him. So I do believe that he and Jesus, he was a willing participant in what Jesus might have known was happening, was going to happen anyway. And this book, the original gospel, I mean, unfortunately, most of it is rotted. It existed for thousands of years, or as many years as it existed, in this cave in Egypt in perfect condition. And then in 20 years in a bank vault, it rotted in the fetid air. So a lot of it is gone, but it's full of esoteric teachings of Jesus to Judas on things that certainly the Catholic Church doesn't teach.
Right. Linda, why does there seem to be, and there is, this huge interest in biblical prophecy in the Bible? I mean, television shows now, the mini series on the Bible. They come out, they're record ratings. I mean, movies are coming out. There's another movie coming out about this. Why is there this fascination with this? I had the story about the Shroud of Turin with scientists thinking, hey, maybe the thing is real.
Right.
Why is it so widespread, and why are so many people interested in this?
Well, I mean, it's the same answer I'll give you. Why is the Bible the most read book in history? There's some truth in there that has captivated people forever. And there are so many gospels that were not included in the New Testament that are coming to light and have come to light over the last 50 or 100 years that have fascinated people, because they're saying, what else don't we know? What else is there to know? And has some esoteric truths been kept from us? Do we have powers ourselves that we don't know about that have been kept from us? So it's human nature. I mean, I find it extremely fascinating. And I think everyone does. And, you know, even when it's on the History Channel and, you know, it was very standard biblical fare, people want to know. They want to see it. I mean, it's the same reason that Cecil B. DeMille had success 1,000 times with his movies, his Bible movies, because it's something larger than us. It's something we instinctively crave to understand, I think. And I think that's with every religion and every great prophet. So much of what the great prophets have all said, we don't know.
When you were putting this together, when you're writing it, as you continue to work on it, was there one aspect of it that just blew your mind?
Well, what blew my mind is when my friend and I were going through it, and she actually happens to be understand Coptic, and she understands seven languages. She's fluent in seven languages, and when we took apart and found that the missing words were leading us to something much bigger. Not the missing words, the missing parts of words were leading us to something very strange. And it's going to take a few more years of research and a few more visits with scholars who are much more knowledgeable than I to understand why the pieces of words that rotted out all form a pathway to something else.
Linda, do you think we're in the stages of end times now?
Yes, I do. I don't like to say it, but, I mean, even if it weren't biblical, look what's happened to the earth. I mean, when Hurricane Sandy struck, Governor Cuomo was the only one who had the nerve to come on television and say, listen, the weather has changed. We can expect a once-in-a-lifetime catastrophic event every couple of years now.
It's going to happen.
We have to change the way we build, the way we're thinking, and the way we're preparing, because this is not normal. I'm sorry, it's not normal. And he was absolutely the only person to tell the truth, the only politician to tell the truth. I really believe that the earth can't survive like this. It just can't.
But I think it's a cycle. I think nobody wants pollution. And I think a lot of people confuse global warming, climate change, with pollution. I think we should do everything we can to minimize pollution. But I think regardless of what we might be contributing, it was going to happen. It's going to happen. And if we survive this, or this planet survives it, it's going to happen again. We're going to have cold cycles and warm cycles, and it just...
You're right. It's cyclical.
Yeah.
It's cyclical. We just think because we're alive now that it can't happen to us. But, you know, it's happened before.
We are, unfortunately, in that time period. We're in one of the cycles.
Even if it is caused by pollution, well, that's part of the cycle.
Yeah, but if
it's
it is pollution,
part of the cycle that's meant to be.
If it is pollution, though, I think we could minimize it. I just think this was going to happen. I mean, we had higher CO2 levels back during the dinosaur days. I mean, I don't think we had cars and factories there. I could be wrong, but I don't think we did.
Didn't you ever watch the Flintstones?
Oh, I did. I loved them. Loved them. You're too young. You're too young to remember the Flintstones.
I wish.
So here we are, looking toward the future, with stories like the Book of Judas, where you've got a code between lines, and much like the Bible code, I guess. What's the message? What's the message you want people to take with it? It's a novel again, but what's the message?
You know what? I don't know what the message is, but I believe that the message is leading to the belief that we actually evolved from the star Sirius, and that it's really important to understand where we came from before we don't, before we're not here anymore. I mean, I don't know what it's ultimately leading to, but it sure seems that way to me. Because why would all these words that are, these pieces of words that are missing, all point to this star? I didn't even know about this mini galaxy before this.
Oh, that's one of the wonders of all this.
Right. I mean, I never heard of it before.
You still see the synchronicities everywhere, don't you?
Yes. Don't. I think if you open yourself up, doesn't everyone have synchronicity in their life? It's part of just life. You just, some people can grasp it and some people ignore it, and some organized religions tell you it's not so, because they can't really control you if it's not so.
Well, it's a puzzlement, as they say in The King and I. It is indeed a puzzlement.
You're too young for that.
What, The King and I?
I'm kidding.
Heck no. As a matter of fact, in high school, I was in that play.
Were you the king?
No, I was the crawl-a-hole.
You were the eye?
No, I was the assistant. I spent half my time just clapping, you know, here, stuff like that. Where do people get your work? They want to buy it. Where do they go?
Well, it's available in, it just came out in paperback, and it's available in every Barnes & Noble. It's in the front tower.
That's a Six Station we're talking
available
about.
Available on Amazon and everywhere else.
Six Station, you're talking about paper.
Yes,
book, right?
The Six Station. The Book of Judas is not done yet. I'm just researching it now.
And your website is The Six Station, right?
TheSixStation.com, yes.
Okay. Well, you stay with us, Linda. We're going to come back in a moment and take promised phone calls for you for the rest of the half hour that you're with us as we talk about, of course, your work, your unusual work, chasing a Vatican priest who's an exorcist. That is amazing. It's too bad he's gone. Some of those older priests really understood how to do exorcisms, indeed. Hey, follow us, by the way, on Twitter, and like us on Facebook, if you will. We're looking for another new milestone on Facebook. It's growing and growing and growing. Well, next hour, we'll talk about those elongated skulls in Peru and some DNA testing. Unbelievable results there on our Wednesday night Coast to Coast program. We're going to be talking about why Ted Brewer believes that they're out to reduce the population and get us all. Make sure you're part of that. We're going to come back in a moment and take some phone calls with Linda Stacy on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Linda Stacy with us. Linda, if Judas was in on the turning Christ in, why did he commit suicide? What happened there?
Well, Jesus said to him, you will be the most hated man on earth. And he became the most hated man on earth. And I think there were two things. I think one, he wanted to, if in fact this story is true, as the gospel of Judas seems to indicate, I think that he wanted to, A, join his master, wherever that was, and B, I don't think he could live with the world thinking that he had been the one who turned on his beloved master. I don't think he could live that way. I just don't think he could. And Jesus promised him that they would be together again at some point. So I think that's why.
All right, let's go to the calls. Folks have been waiting for you for a long time. We'll go to David in Somas, California to get us going. First time caller. Hey, David, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks for letting me on, George. Good evening. Linda, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. George just stole a little of my thunder because that's a part of the question. Firstly, A, why did you decide to focus on Judas regarding the issues of Jesus' crucifixion? Secondly, do you believe in the absolute that there was a conspiracy between he and Jesus regarding Judas turning him over to the Romans for the crucifixion? And lastly, with regard to his killing himself, he did indeed do so, and Jesus said that it would be better if he had never been born. And quite frankly, I've read the gospel several times in my life, and I don't recall saying what you just said. He said that we'd be together again, or you'd be the most hated man on earth. However, we do know he said that it would be better if you hadn't been born. So I'd just like your thoughts on that.
Well, the gospel that I read said that he would indeed be reviled and hated on, and I believe that I didn't start out to write this book. I didn't know anything about this gospel. And what happened, as I told George earlier, that first I found an old book written a long time ago by Taylor Caldwell, which is a novel, about Judas in my house. I didn't even know it was there. And then I came upon the Elaine Pagels book, and then in the Elaine Pagels book, she says where the gospel was finally discovered, and it happened to be in the bank vault where I had my bank account in Hicksville, Long Island as a child. So I felt that I was being led to investigate this further. I'm more interested in what we don't know is in the book because of what's rotted away. I'm more interested in trying to find that out, and it seems to me to be some kind of a code. So I am very interested. Do I know whether this was a conspiracy between the two? No, of course not. I don't know that. I just know what it seems to be leading to. And I do find it pretty hard to believe that his disciple, who loved him dearly and he loved dearly, would turn on him without provocation. I don't know. I don't know whether it's true or not.
Was it the grand setup?
Well, that's what this gospel seems to indicate that it was. I don't know. I mean,
Skype is open, by the way, for Linda at George97313. Daniel is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Daniel. Go ahead.
First of all, the voice that you guys keep hearing, that's exactly what I hear. Is why did you write this book? And I think she answered her own question when she said that. The message that she was trying to send. The second thing was, as far as strange incidences happening, I used to suffer from nosebleeds as a kid, only to find out later after going through Ancestry.com, which you promote on your show, mm-hmm. that my 47th great-grandfather, who was very famous in history, died of a nosebleed.
By what? I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said.
Died of a nosebleed.
Yeah, my 47th great-grandfather was Attila the Hun, and he died of a nosebleed, which I found out from Ancestry.com.
Well, stranger things have happened, I guess, to people, Linda.
Right.
Stranger things have happened. Well, in terms of, you know, these synchronicities that occurred for you, primarily with the Sixth Station when you're writing, do you think if you didn't write that book, these things would have happened to you?
No, I don't think they would have happened to me because they were all related in some way to the book. I believe I showed you the photos of my friend who died, and she was the biggest proponent for me writing this book. And when I went to Italy to study, and she was very bad at the time, she said, no, you have to go, you have to go. Well, and I showed you the photos 6 months after she died. I looked out my window, and there was her bright blue Prius. And the window opened, and out of the window came her two little Bichon dogs. And it was a freezing cold day, and I went outside, and I
She stayed in the car, right? She didn't want to come up.
She was in the car, and I took the photos. It was Donna. And no, she didn't want to come out of the car, and she didn't really speak, but it was her. My husband's a lawyer. He saw it.
She stayed parked outside your house for 3 hours?
Yes. Yes.
Did you call the cops?
No, my friend.
Come get my dead friend whose ghost is outside my house.
I took the picture. because you saw the pictures, George, you know that it really happened. And it happened to be on a day that a friend of hers got a terrible diagnosis as well, who lived right next door to her. That's number one. And number two, it was on a day when I was so discouraged, I actually had said to my husband, I can't write this book anymore. I can't. It's killing me. I cannot write this
book. You were going to stop? Wow.
I was going to stop, yes. It was all becoming too much, and I was going to stop. And then all of a sudden, there she was. Hello.
And then she drove away?
No. Yeah, she drove away eventually, yeah. She drove away eventually.
Did you get the license plate?
I assume she drove away eventually.
You should have gotten the license plate.
She wasn't there anymore. Hmm?
You should have gotten the license plate.
You know, I have pictures of the car. It's very possible that the license plate is there, but I was more interested in focusing on her. But now that you mention it, I'm going to see if there's a full picture of the car with the license plate.
Have the police department do a little run for
that.
Hmm? That would be bizarre.
You know, I spoke to the psychic John Edward about it.
Yeah.
And he said to me that it might not necessarily have been her, but her sending someone
like a doppelganger,
looked like her for me to get the message.
Yeah, that's possible.
But I mean,
but it's weird
her
that
face and her dogs and her car.
But it's weird that they would stay there for 3 hours.
Yes.
With the dogs and the similar car
and everything.
And the pictures were very similar.
Yes.
Okay, let's go to Tony in Los Angeles, first-time caller. Tony, thanks. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening.
Hello.
I just want to say hello to this lady, and she's writing a book about from taking the something from the Book of Judas, you said?
Book of Judas.
That's the book I'm writing now, yes. From a gospel that was found.
Okay, this Gospel of Judas, I think it's so powerful because I can't explain verse by verse because I receive a divine revelation, and all the pastors who's taking the money from people, and they are failing now, you know?
I think that people are turning more and more to esoteric learning and spiritual learning because I think that they're finding that they can actually have more experiences with God or whomever than they can from teachings where a lot of the spirituality has been taken out of it.
The title of the book, The Sixth Station, tell us why you came up with that title.
Well, The Sixth Station is, in every church in the world, there are the stations of the cross, which are incidences that happened to Jesus as he was carrying the cross. The sixth station is the station, the veil of Veronica, where Veronica wipes the face of Jesus.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's what it's based on.
All right. Next up, we go to Mike in San Antonio, Texas, east of the Rockies. Mike, you are up with us.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, Mike.
I just remember learning in college that there was a thought that Judas was the greatest of them because Christ couldn't trust any of the other disciples to hand him over to the Romans. That that because of that, the amount of moral requirement to actually commit to doing it, because surely Jesus would be able to look into the heart of a man and know if he could raise a man from the dead. Surely he could look into a man's heart and know what was there and know the truth of him. And it didn't seem unreasonable. It was just something I learned in school.
But let me ask you something. Why do you think Jesus would need to do that? That's what I still haven't reconciled myself.
Well, one of the things it said was because of who he was, a rabbi, he knew all of the prophecies. It was integral to his learning and education. He would have known all the prophecies for the Messiah.
Right.
And he was just, if he was aware. So I guess it said there was only two considerations. One, he knew who he was, and two, he didn't know who he was.
Right.
And if he didn't know, there's some complications. There's some complications there. And if he did know who he was, things like Satan's temptations wouldn't have meant very much, because if he knew he was the Messiah, then Satan offering him the entire globe wouldn't have had any impact because, you know, he was part of creation. He would have known all that.
It's like a played out stage show, Linda, isn't it?
Right. Yes. But it's the greatest stage show in the history of the world.
With a script that was already written?
Yes, because it all worked. And, you know, as Mike said, the prophecies said that he would come from a certain place. He would be from the line of David. He would meet his end in a certain way. And was he a victim of fate? Did he create fate? We don't know. But with all the uncovering of all of these Gospels, the Gospel of Mary, the Gospel of Thomas, that were suppressed by the Council of Nicaea, I think that we get a much clearer picture of what was actually going on as opposed to what they want us to think was going on. And there's also, it's interesting to note that, which I learned in Israel, that Jesus is portrayed as this kindly, benevolent person, which he certainly wasn't. He was very, very adamant about being very strongly militaristic as a Jew or whatever. But when they wanted the Catholic Church wanted Christianity to be accepted, they had to turn him more benevolent, because they didn't want any more uprisings against the Christians. So they made him into much more benevolent.
How does this
being than he was?
Linda, how do you think all this is going to play out?
And you mean with my book or with?
With life.
With life. I think that we're going to learn everything there is to know about this stuff. All this stuff is going to come out. And I do believe that we're headed towards something not very good. And I think that if we're going that way, I'd rather be armed with the truth, wouldn't you? Whatever the truth is, whether it's hurtful, whether it's ugly, it's better to know the truth and be armed with it if we're really heading towards the end time.
And now, is this based on intuition? What's it based on?
It's based on both intuition and intellect. I mean, wouldn't you want to know the truth? We all want to know the truth, which is why shows like Ancient Aliens and your show and other shows are becoming more and more popular, because people want to at least be exposed to a different side and make a decision for themselves. Is this the truth? Is this what's been hidden from us?
Would you want to know the day you're going to die?
No.
You don't want to know that?
No.
Why?
Because I would spend most of my time obsessing about it, I think.
What if you could fix it or change it? You know, what if they said, you know...
But what you're saying is if you know the day you're going to die, how could you change it?
Well, I think we can. I think we have the ability to change things. We've got free will. You know, and so...
It's not the day you're going to die.
If somebody said, Linda, you're going to die 10 years from now, you're going to step off a curb and you're going to get hit by a truck, and you knew this, you'd say, okay, here's the date, May 8th, 2024. I'm not going outside, or I'm not doing this or that. You could alter that. You could change that.
You might alter it, but a truck might come crashing through your house.
So you're saying you can't get away from it. You can't alter it.
I'm saying that if you believe, what you said to me, if you knew the day you were going to die, that means that is the day I'm going to die. There's nothing I can do to change it. I can try to change it, but if that's set in stone, if as you're saying, then it's set in stone. Do you want to know the day you're going to die?
Absolutely.
You do, really?
Yeah, I do. I want, because I have things to do. I have things I want to maybe do in my life. You know,
but you're doing them. Aren't you doing them?
Sure, I'm doing them, that I may speed them up a little bit or slow them down. I mean, my father lived. He was 88 years old. God rest his soul. He would have still kept going had he not fallen. You know, he would have been 91 in 2 weeks. I really thought the guy was going to go on forever. But my point is, if you knew you were going to live until you were 90, wouldn't you change your life a little bit right now? Maybe you'd not spend as much money. You'd save a little bit more because you've got that much more to live. Or if you thought you were going to go in 2 years, have a great time.
I
want to know.
I have a great time anyway, and I live my life every day to the max.
I try that too, as if it's your last.
And, you
but
know,
I still
I mean,
want to know.
If I knew that I was going to die in 10 years, I don't think it would change anything that I'm doing other than I'd be really upset. Hey,
and I'd want to know why.
I'd
want to know why. I mean, so maybe you take care of yourself a little better. You know, maybe you do all these things. Maybe you're going to die of cancer. Maybe you're going to get hit by that truck. But, you know, I think you could take steps to do that. I mean,
yes, but I think that if you thought, okay, I'm going to die of cancer, you'd spend. See, I believe that you can manifest whatever it is, and I don't think you necessarily get what you deserve in life. You get what you think you deserve in life. And if you start obsessing, like it's like an O. Henry story. If you start obsessing, okay, I'm going to die on February 8th of cancer, you will put in your mind that you're going to get cancer. You're going to get cancer.
You think you're going to create it, manifest it by thinking
about it. What the mind can imagine, the body can manifest. I believe that very strongly.
What an interesting hotline during my open line show on Friday. I might do that. If you want to know the day you're going to die, it would be something. Anyway, Linda, we are rapidly running out of time. Good luck with this. When can we expect the Book of Judas?
In 1 year.
Okay.
Unless something really bizarre.
Unless something happens. And you could have known about it, and we could have warned you. You could have gotten the book out in 2 months. See? That's what happens. All right, Linda, thanks.
Thank you so much, George.
So, one more quick question.
Yes.
The Voice. What do you think?
I think that it was just another one of these crazy manifestations that have happened to me. And I promise you, I swear on everything that I believe and don't believe in, that I heard it again.
All right. I've got to believe you. Strange. We'll be back in a moment. We'll talk about this DNA from an elongated skull in Peru.